Ever feel like you need a decoder ring just to understand your kid's education?
Like, we need a whole secret language just to talk about school.
Right, and then toss in things like programs of choice and IEPs. Suddenly, I'm drowning in acronyms, which is why you are here to help us untangle all of this. Welcome to the deep dive.
Absolutely. We're going deep on this one because parents deserve to feel confident, not confused, about their choices.
Okay, so programs of choice. Sounds kind of self-explanatory, right?
On the surface, maybe. We're talking about those educational options that fall outside the traditional public school system.
So things like what boarding schools, homeschooling co-ops, those super niche academies you sometimes hear about.
Exactly. Virtual schools, too. Anything that isn't your typical zoned public school experience. And on its own, that concept's not so tricky.
But there's always a but, isn't there? When my kid has an IEP, that's when programs of choice might turn into a headache.
Bingo. It's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole sometimes. The IEP adds a whole other layer of legal requirements to the mix.
So help our listeners wrap their heads around this. Give us a real-world scenario where things could get, well, messy.
Okay, imagine this. You found this amazing boarding school, perfect fit for your child, right? But then you dig into their services and realize they don't have a speech therapist on staff.
And that speech therapy is the cornerstone of your child's IEP. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh is right. Or let's say you're leaning towards a correspondence program. Lots of flexibility, great on paper, but your child thrives in a structured, hands-on learning environment.
Which a correspondence program, by its very nature, may not be able to provide. Suddenly that flexibility isn't so flexible anymore, is it?
So where does the actual law stand on all of this? Does it specifically address these programs of choice in relation to IEPs?
And this is where it gets tricky. The Individuals with Disabilities Education Act idea, yeah. It's our North Star for special education. It spells out the requirements for a free and appropriate public education, or APE, right, in the least restrictive environment, LRE.
There's that but again. Right. IDEA doesn't directly address programs of choice. It's this gray area where things can get murky.
And where I imagine parents need to be extra vigilant.
Yeah.
So how do we make sure our kids are getting what they need, even in this gray area?
It all boils down to FTE and LRE every single time. Think of the IEP like a roadmap for your child's education. It outlines the specific supports and services they need to access the curriculum.
But that roadmap might look different depending on the educational setting, right?
Yeah.
It's not a one-size-fits-all situation.
Exactly. And that's why communication is crucial. Before you even fall in love with a program of choice, get your hands on your child's complete educational records.
Talk about homework for mom and dad.
It's worth it, trust me. Look for those potential conflicts, things the program might not be equipped to handle. And don't be shy. Talk to the school directly. Ask those tough questions up front. My child needs this specific therapy. How will you make that happen?
I love that you're emphasizing open communication. It's all about those honest conversations from the get-go. But what happens if, even after all that, there's a disagreement? Say, the school claims they can meet your child's needs, but you have doubts.
You are your child's biggest advocate. If your gut's telling you something's off, don't back down. Push back politely but firmly. Remember, schools are legally obligated to provide clear, written explanations for denials of services, and they have to outline alternative options. This isn't about taking their word for it. It's about making sure your child's needs, as outlined in their IEP, are the top priority.
It's almost like programs of choice turn the IEP process into this more intensive negotiation, wouldn't you say?
In a way, yes. And if that negotiation hits a wall, remember, you have options. You can request mediation, where a neutral third party helps facilitate a conversation. If that doesn't work, you can pursue a due process hearing. That's like the more formal legal route.
I think it's easy for parents to feel overwhelmed by all of this.
Absolutely. But remember, you are not alone. There are resources available, other parents who've walked this path, advocates who can guide you. Don't hesitate to reach out for support. This deep dive is about giving you the information and the confidence to be your child's champion.
So to sum it all up for our listeners,
choosing a program of choice doesn't erase your child's right to FAPE, but it might mean becoming a master advocate to make sure those needs are met. Ask questions, stay informed, and never, ever be afraid to speak up for your child.
Because at the end of the day, we all want what's best for our kids. Right. Thanks for walking us through this.
Absolutely. And remember, you've got this.